Good morning, everyone. Hope you guys are having a wonderful day. It is Thursday here in Nashville, Tennessee, and it is gorgeous this morning. So I went out for, I don't know if I've told you guys, but I posted on Instagram. I have decided to make it official that I am going to run this sub 30K. So for those of you who don't know what that means, it's I want to run 3.1 miles. And I would like to do it in less than 30 minutes. This has been a goal of mine now for, well, I've only been running for 14 years and it's been a goal for 14 years. But this is, I'm taking it very seriously this time. Like I wanted to kind of open up with our Q&A with, you know, very often I think we do, if you're like me, so I have two sides of me. I have the one side is very serious about goals. I set goals, I achieve goals. I focus on them, I make the plan, I show up for the goal when I don't want to. Like I get very focused in on it. It becomes life absorbing. So I can think of several times in my life where I have set goals and it has been like everything stops to make sure this happens. And then I have goals that I really like thinking about them. I love planning for them. I like writing about them. I like visualizing myself. I like doing all of that part of it. Like I love the fun part of the goal, which is the thinking. And it's almost like I can just see myself there, like all the things. And I don't do a lot of the work because a lot of the work is going to be hard. So when it comes to it, I go back to, well, let's just think more about the planning part. I've been doing that with this 5K shit for 14 years. I have done all kinds of races. I have gotten close one time. I technically did run one underneath 30 minutes, but it was years ago. It was not a certified course. It was at my old high school. I don't trust that it was accurate. There was no timer. Like I went by my watch, all the things. So I've kind of like just been like, no, I want like an official one. Like I want to know. It needs to be like on a website somewhere posted with my name and my time. So I'm like taking it seriously this time. So when I think about goals, I think some of the things that makes it easier to take them seriously is one is some public accountability. I haven't always used public accountability with all my goals, but there are certain ones that I've known that it helps. So like when you guys are thinking about your goals and stuff, you know, think about, are you willing to tell people? If not, why? You know, one of the reasons why I wasn't willing to tell people about that 5K goal was because I kept holding on to the idea that I probably wouldn't do the work. Well, okay, I'm probably not going to do the work if one, I'm the only person that I have to report into. Two, if I'm already thinking I'm probably not going to do the work. We have to be very aware of why we're making our choices. Sorry, guys, my glasses are so filthy, I can't see you. The other thing, so it's like public accountability. I think the other thing for me was like, if I'm going to get legit serious about this, it's not even just so much telling people about it. It's like, I'm going to have to plan unlike I've ever planned before. You know, in the past, what I've done is sit around and I've gone on the internet and looked for a plan and all this other kind of stuff. And this time I decided to hire a running coach. So I've told people about it and I've hired a guy that coaches a friend of mine. He's writing my plans and I'm going to do these things. And I know that there's going to be plenty of days where it sucks. Like I'm not going to want to do those workouts. I'm going to want to talk myself out of it. I'm going to want to lift weights instead. You know, like I have workouts that I really enjoy doing. I don't always enjoy running. So, you know, I'm already like doing thought work around how am I going to show up for myself when I don't want to show up for myself? What am I going to say to myself? How am I going to talk to myself? What are going to be my non-negotiables? What fun things am I willing to sacrifice to get this done? So I really am thinking it through. And I think that like for a lot of you, when you think about like your weight loss goals and stuff, I think it's really important that you think more about just, well, this is how much I want to weigh. It's like, you got to think more about not only this is how much I want to weigh, but here's the things I'm really willing to do. You know, for a lot of you, it's good. Like I was listening to a really interesting podcast this morning while I was running. In fact, she's a tribe member. Her name's Cara Lowenthal. Her podcast is called Unfuck Your Brain. Cara and I have become really good friends over the years. We both went through master coach training, and now we're in a mastermind together. And she had a podcast this morning called Thought Avoidance. And I was thinking about all of us, because I'm very guilty of this. But like one of the things that she was like kind of discussing in there was this idea of, you know, we have to be willing to see the thoughts that we don't love about ourselves. And rather than just trying to change them really quickly to be happy about it, we need to just be like, it's just a thought. So I was like going through thinking about where I'm going to get into like situations where my brain is going to like think not so amazing things about myself and want to talk me out of it. And I was like, I'm going to be willing to listen. I'm going to be willing to hear that it's okay to stop running. It's okay to just shit on this goal. It doesn't really matter. This is not going to change anyone's life. Those are the things that I think all the time. And I'm going to be willing to think them. And I'm going to be willing to keep running when those things happen. I think for a lot of you that these things you need to think about with your weight loss goals. You know, what thoughts are you willing to think about yourself but keep going anyway? You know, I was like, for a lot of you, you need to like really look out for thoughts that it's okay to just like start tomorrow. You know, like being, I think so often you guys just don't want to think the thoughts that are driving you to overeat. And I'm like, no, think them, write them down. Don't be pissed about them. Know they're coming. Get so familiar with them that when they come, you have the skill and you have the ability to tell yourself, like, we're going to keep going. It's okay to think those things. It's very normal for me to think that. I've been like, you know, using that as an excuse to eat for so long. I've even been working on a lot of my hunger scale and stuff here recently, because it's real easy when you're in maintenance to just kind of get away from it, you know? And, you know, it's been the summer. I have been traveling, vacationing, doing all the things. And so I've been like writing in my journal the last probably 3 weeks now about one of the new questions in the new journal asks you, what patterns do you notice? And the one I kept writing down every day is like, I notice I'm eating past my two. Like I'm just finishing whatever I have. And so this morning I was eating my Kodiak pancakes. I'd done my run, lifted my upper body. Like I got all up in my shoulders and my arms by business this morning, did all the things. And so I lifted and then I was like, okay, well, I'm going to go ahead and eat breakfast because I do y'all's call. Then I have like errands to run. I have an appointment. I won't even get back home and have another meal until 3 o'clock today. So I thought, okay, I'm going to eat now. And then that way, by the time 3 o'clock comes, I'll be fine. Well, I got like, and this is Kodiak pancakes, y'all. This is not like an egg. This is Kodiak pancakes. They are all the deliciousness. They taste the wonderful. And I was like sitting there just eating, listening to a coaching call. And I was like, I think I'm done. And there was so much chatter in my head. Like I had like a half a pancake left. And I was like, I don't think I'm really enjoying this anymore. And even though it was like, here's what I was enjoying. I like eating. I enjoy the process of eating. It was a chocolate pancake. It wasn't that it wasn't delightful in my mouth. There was a party happening and an orgasm and all the things. But when I was really paying attention, like I was satisfied. I was getting to the point of full. And I was going, I think I'm going to have to throw this away. If I keep eating, I know I'm going to feel full after this. And I sat there and I shit you not, Kodiak pancake in my napkin, looking at it. Because I eat two in the morning. I don't eat just one. I eat two. Just so you guys know, like a half a pancake, Corinne. I know some of you are like, that's some bullshit. Why are you only eating half a pancake? I always make two. So I'm sitting there looking at my half pancake. And I'm really sitting there almost talking to it. And I'm like, I don't think I'm going to finish you. And I was like, well, if I don't finish it, that would, you know, honestly, that'd be really good. Because, you know, you don't need to be eating past your two. Like, I'm like having this legit conversation in my head. And I am your weight loss guru.
I say all of this because this is normal. A lot of you think that this is just so crazy and, oh my God, I have all this chatter and wah, wah, wah. And it's like, no, this is normal. This is the level of which it takes to lose weight. You have to pay attention to what your head is saying. And I don't care if you've been on a roll for a while. At some point, your ass is going to get lazy and not listen. You're going to avoid some of those thoughts because when the stuff about like being super conscious comes back in or you get away from some of your hunger scale and stuff, guess what? You're going to want to think something's broken and you're not going to want to think those thoughts and all the things. I'm just here to tell you, if at 15 years, I can sit here and reevaluate myself and listen to my chatter and I literally took the napkin, folded it over, I was going to throw it away in this trash can of which only has paper in it. And I was like, you know what? No, I am going to put this in the trash can where it wouldn't even cross my mind to want to fish it out if in 30 minutes I changed my mind. Seriously. I know some of you are like, what? You would like get in your trash? I'm like, yeah, because this is the worst that's in there. It is like packaging and paper. So yes, I do all of those things. I think about it. I'm always thinking like, I don't even want the temptation of that chocolate pancake smelling up the joint 30 minutes later and me thinking it's okay. Well, that pancake's on top. So I think what you have to do, guys, is you have to just like cut yourself some slack. Y'all got to quit thinking that because you overthink your food that that's overthinking. No. I would rather all of you to be overthinking than underthinking. Underthinking is like ignoring. Underthinking is like just keep on going with whatever you think. Believe in all that shit you think about. I would just like dig in. Listen to your crazy. I listen to my crazy all the time. And most of the time, I giggle about it. I am just like, oh my fucking God, Corinne. 15 years in. I find it hilarious. And I think when you start finding it hilarious, you start making traction on being the person you want to be. When you don't find it hilarious and you find it shameful, you cannot make traction on being the person that you want to be. You're running from that person. Rather than like, I want you to think about a friend. If you had a friend who was constantly putting you down and you're with them, you just don't want to hang out with them. You start ignoring them and stuff. But if you have your ride or die who's fucking hilarious, it's like, I don't care if we are both making fun of each other. If it's funny, we are going to hang out and we're going to enjoy it. And that's what I think about myself a lot of times. I just listen to all this stuff. So I've just seriously, the last few weeks, I've just been noting things. And then the last couple days, I've just like, I can really start sensing a shift just in my own perspective about some of the things I think about just listening to my food and all that kind of stuff. Okay, so random. Like my daddy, like I never hear from my daddy hardly ever, but every now and then he'll just text me out of the blue right now. Keith Wright, good morning, beautiful daughter. Love you. I haven't talked to him in a year, but every now and then he'll just pop me a text. That's a talk for another day. All right, let's see what we have in terms of questions. Let me get to my stuff. All right. Lindsay. I don't really get an opportunity for breaks throughout the day at work. I get a lunch break, but it's at work in the break room. That's still a break. So let's just say I usually get a break. I get a lunch break just so that you're super clear because your brain is already going, I don't really get an opportunity for breaks. That is a thought. I know you think it's a fact, but it literally is just a thought. So what we want to do is that we want to think, okay, I get some breaks. Like, typically, it's the lunch break, okay? That just puts you in a more empowered stance. Just the way that you kind of phrase it kind of sounds like ass. But it's at work in the break room, and I'm responsible for getting phones and taking walk-ins if anyone comes in. But you still get a break. I go, go, go all day. Another thought. It just isn't helping you. The way you're describing everything, I don't even know what the hell you're fixing to ask me, but I can just tell you the way you're describing your life sucks a fat one for you. I can tell. It sounds stressful. I don't even like reading it. Let's put it that way. If I don't enjoy reading it, it's got to be but for you. So I go all day. And then when I get to wind down, I struggle with having a binge. Womp, womp. I can tell. Hell, if I described my life like that, I would want to binge too at 5 o'clock. Do you have any advice or tips for ideas to get in a break without actually taking one? Yeah, it's called the mental break. You don't need a physical break. Something that I could do at my desk. Quit being hard on yourself. Quit saying you go all day. Just say, I have a job. I answer the phones. When I take lunch, sometimes the phone rings and I have to pick it up. If somebody walks in, your mind is set that unless you've somehow been removed from what you're doing, that you don't get a break. That's not the problem. There are people in this world who do life-saving surgeries for 10 hours at a time, most days of the week. They don't get a break in the middle of surgery, but they don't go home and binge either. Like, this is what I want you guys to think about. They're thinking about their job as, you know, I'm in there being a badass. I'm a well-paid surgeon. I don't know what your deal is, but here's the thing. We all have to be super careful about how we're describing our life. Because unless you're ready to quit your job, the solve for feeling better is to think better. They're not going to give you a break. None of that's going to change. You have to get to where you just appreciate what you do, or you just got to be like, you know what? My binges have fucking nothing to do with what I do at work all day long. You could always start there. Your binges are because you come home and you're left with your brain. It's not because of what's happening at work. It's not because you don't get a break during the day. That is not why we binge. I guarantee you that if we set you up with a job where you get a break, you're probably going to come home and binge. What I would rather you do is I want you to like say, what do I mean that I don't get breaks? Is it I have a sucky job or whatever? You have to clean those thoughts up. So like, and I want all of you to really hear this because a lot of times you guys want to know like, how do I change my circumstance? How do I change things in my life? Like, don't change anything in your life. Change how you think about your life. You could be like during the day, you could be like, you know, it's a good thing that I'm busy. Keeps me on plan. That could be exactly what you think. Not that I need a break so I don't binge. And I think that's what your brain is trying to reconcile. I think that your thought is, if I had more breaks, I wouldn't binge at 5 o'clock. No, you're going to binge at 5 o'clock unless you start deciding I don't binge at 5 o'clock. I don't binge. Like, my binges have nothing to do with work. My binges have nothing to do with breaks. It has nothing to do with being on go all the day long. My binges has everything to do with how I think about everything, including the binge. Binges are just a response to you get home and you don't want to give yourself a break. So you binge. It's like, well, I don't have a break all day at work. So now, like, I don't want any of you to think that when you're overeating or when you're binging, that that's you giving yourself a break. That is the last thing you're doing. If you want to give yourself a break, sit and listen to what you think about. Take a break. Allow yourself to be with you. Because you're not binging because, like, of work. I guarantee you, everybody that binges is because they will not sit and they can't tolerate being with themselves for a minute. So whatever is going on there is what we need to know. Like, in those moments when it's time to binge, what are you, like, if you could not binge, what would you have to be thinking about? What would you be forced to face? Most of you, it's a lot of doo-doo talk about yourself. I hate my job. I hate my life. I should have done better. Like, that's what's going on. And that's where the work is. You having a break at work is the most irrelevant piece of it. I've noticed that a few days before my period, I get the munchies and want to eat everything. I know I can't because that will sabotage all my work I've done for the rest of the month. What are some tips to not eat everything in sight? Have a period protocol. just know exactly what you're going to eat on the days before. You just need a 24-hour plan. And if you notice that you have munchies, that's just going to be days you have to manage more urges. You need to just go into it, right? Like now that you're out of the I've noticed phase, so now I'm in awareness. It's kind of like with me. When I have my period, I want to eat a lot of carbs. Like I want every meal to be just, I could just, this is so strange, but y'all know how I'm like a meatitarian. First day or two of my period, I don't even want to look at meat. It is the most uninteresting thing I've ever seen in my life. I just want to eat like oatmeal. I want to eat like a sandwich. I want like my little dry ass Weight Watcher pizzas. I want all the things. I just plan for that stuff during my period. I just go, like, I've just gotten very self-aware of what I do. But here's what I don't do. I don't just green light to eat whatever. I don't just like, well, it's my period or whatever. No, it's like I have a 24-hour plan. It works with where my, like, whatever I'm craving and whatnot. I'm just going to tell all of you, if you plan sensibly during your period, you will not have a period that makes you gain tons of weight. Now, you're going to gain a little weight on your period anyway. I always gain 4 to 7 pounds on my period, but it ain't because I'm eating a dry-ass Weight Watcher pizza. It's called fluid retention. And here's what I also don't do. I don't gain a bunch of mental weight. I don't sit there and weigh in and be like, oh my God, I can't do it. But no, we don't throw fits. We don't do that shit. Like, periods are bad enough. Like, I got like all the cramps and stuff. The last thing I need is a fat, unnecessary fit thrown on top of it. It's just not going to do. Good Lord. I've got like all the text messages. I'm telling you, every time I go live, all the text messages. Have you always been a morning person? No. Well, I honestly, that's not true. I was a morning person when I was in like high school during those years in my 20s. No, I was not a morning person. I didn't do, all I did was I lived literally 0.6 miles from the front door of the office that I worked in. I rolled out of bed the last possible second and rolled straight into work. So I have not always been a morning person. When I was in high school, I was though. It's so strange. I would get up at like 4 or 5 in the morning, get ready, drive to my grandparents' house. They would make me breakfast. We'd read the paper. I was like an old person. We'd read the paper. They would smoke and drink coffee. And then I'd go back home and pick my brother up. I just always liked that. Now I'm a morning person. I really became a morning person about 14 or 15 years. It's probably, so I lost my weight. I'm somewhere in between 14 and 15 years now. And I really became a morning person when I started doing those bodybuilding competitions. You were supposed to do fasted cardio. And the only, because Logan was so little, the only way that I could get it done without, you know, interruption, because I was going to have to work out twice a day during that time. And so I would get up at 4:30 in the morning and I would do my cardio so that I wanted to be able to, because Logan would hit the floor running at 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning. And he wasn't the easiest of children. So I made sure I got up and got it done, because then when Chris got home at night, I would have to go back to the gym and I would have to lift weights. So I had to like space it out. That's how I became a morning person. And then once I just started doing that, I just started loving the idea of getting up. And then I've just, ever since, I've just liked getting up first thing in the morning and doing things. I like to get my day laid out. I like to just get a lot of things done. I love the quiet of the morning. Even Logan asked me the other day, he's like, why do you still get up early? And I said, I just love the quiet of the morning. I said, there's just something about that first hour by myself when you and Daddy are asleep where I can think and I can do what I want to do and enjoy like just spending time with myself. You said you have a hard time rolling out of bed in the morning at 6:55. Start backing it up 5 minutes at a time. The way I tell most people to become a morning person is, you can do one of two things. You can start backing up, getting up 5 minutes earlier and have no expectations of yourself. Or you can say like, okay, well, I'm going to need to get up at say 6 a.m. Then start getting used to getting up at 6, but do not work out yet. Like just get good at getting up. Then once you have like a couple of weeks of where you're used to getting up at 6, no excuses, and you're just sitting there, like you have to actually get up though. I'm going to tell you, a lot of times people will like, well, I'm just going to lay here and then they go back to sleep. That's not getting up. Like physically remove yourself from the bed. Now, you ain't got to do anything after that, but you got to physically remove yourself from the bed. Then eventually what happens is, I'm up anyway, I might as well. That's the beauty of it. I've been trying to time block at work this week. Mostly I've done well, but I'm managing my mind when things arise that I need to manage, even if not right away during one of my blocks. I leave what feels like a good buffer in each block, but they're never perfect. I'm guessing I should just keep going, but would appreciate any tips. You're doing fine, Jennifer. It takes several, even to this day. So, like, I'm working on all the event pages for you guys. So, our 2020 schedule is coming out. Stuff is rolling now. You'll start seeing changes on the website right now. But every web page I create, every web page I do, well, I thought that it would only take me one day to do all the web pages. Well, yesterday it took me all day to do one page because I had blocked my time, but the software I use does not like me. My computer kept locking up and not saving things. There's an update to this software that I use that's just not playing very well with me. So I spent most of the day redoing things. And then I was like, okay, well, I'm going to copy paste this over here so I can quickly redo it when it crashes and everything. So it's just taking me longer. What I do is I track my time and I notice my interruptions and I notice things. Something like that, that's not a Corinne not following her plan. That is not a Corinne buffering and getting distracted, saying yes to things she should say no to. That's like a legit, like, okay, this time blocking day just isn't going to work the way I thought. But what you want to do is you just want to keep tracking and just asking yourself, okay, every time that I broke the plan or the time block or whatever, is it really legit? Like, really just be open to the idea that it's not and why. And then you can decide after that, like, okay, I just need to learn how to time block this particular project or this particular thing better or whatever. You just want to be learning from it. But I always like to ask myself, when I am not following any kind of plan, whether it's food, whether it's work, whatever it is, I always like to ask myself, why did I not follow it? And I'm just really honest. I don't shame myself over any answer. Because here's the thing. I don't want to be ashamed of any answer. I legit want to know. My goal is to get better. The only way to get better is to see what's not working. We don't just get better because we're just like, I'm determined to be better. But, you know, I'm not going to look at anything. I should just be better. That's what a lot of you do. Like, that's not a plan. That's asinine. So what we have to do is we have to, like, be like, all right, when I'm not following my plan, this is no reason to be upset. This is a reason to examine why and be, like, really curious about why am I not. And sometimes it's shitty thoughts. Like, you're afraid you're going to fail or whatever. That's okay. I'd rather know that I'm, like, blowing off my plan because I'm afraid I'm going to fail so I can address it versus, well, I don't want to think things like that. It'll make me feel bad. It's like, so what? Like, you can't handle feeling bad. You feel bad now trying to avoid looking at shit. You might as well, like, get in there, look at stuff, and make feeling bad optional. It does not have to be that way. How long after starting No Sugar, No Flour would be realistic for gauging if it's going to be beneficial in helping alleviate joint pain? Oh, girl, I'd give it, like, 2 months. Do not sit there and think it's going to be, like, a week and it's going to be, like, medicine. Give it like a couple of months. You need to, like, really watch your joints and stuff. It takes a while. Like, especially if you've been using any kind of sugar and flour at any, like, decent dose, it's going to take 6 to 8 weeks just to get it all flushed out, especially in the inflammation systems. A lot of it can come out just like, you know, the bullshit brain and the dependence and all that. A lot of that will go away fast. But when it comes to inflammation and stuff, it takes about 6 to 8 weeks for your body to really release fluids and all the cortisol and all the things that it's been hanging on to. So I would say like 2 months and then start really paying attention. What I would do if I was you, Sarah, is I would make sure, sorry, my face is just itching. I would make sure that you rate, like, right now, be like, all right, so this week on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being all out pain, 1 being like, whoop, no pain at all. Where are you at? And then every week, rate where you're at and what you're noticing. That way you can start seeing realistically some changes. Don't just leave it up to your brain to decide, because here's what your brain will do. Oh yeah, we're feeling better and a little sugar flour won't hurt. Like, it'll just start chattering away. And so I don't want you to have the chatter. What I want you to have is like legit data. And legit data for you is going to be like, on a scale of 1 to 10, here's where I rate my inflammation. And here are the symptoms and things that I'm experiencing. And here are the things that I've noticed are changing. Guys, this works for all of it. You do not have to just use this with no sugar, no flour. You can totally use this with just following the hunger scale for leveling up things. You know, if you start walking, I love the idea of you guys creating multiple data points to track things. I have been playing with this concept of one of the most important things when it comes to weight loss is you have to enjoy two aspects of it. You have to enjoy the process and you have to enjoy the progress. When you like the process and you are seeing progress, losing weight is like that. That's what I did. When I look back, I made sure to set up my weight loss in such a way that I liked it. Like, I kept things I wanted. I weeded out things that I no longer wanted. I was constantly like reevaluating. I was always doing it from a place of like, I want to be a healthy person. I want to enjoy this. I want to do what I know I will do. Like, I want to be the kind of person who's like, Corinne, I got your back. Like, that was me. And then I was measuring all kinds of progress. Like, was I walking faster? Was I sleeping better? You know, like, I started noticing clothes changing, the scale changing, inches changing. Like, I watched my body, all kinds of stuff. Like, anything that you can think of, like, if you have joint pain and stuff like that, flexibility. Guys, you can create all your own metrics for tracking things. Get what matters most to you? That's the question. What are the things that you would love to start tracking and get clever about them? I still have a thought that this is temporary, like all past diets. What's a thought that I could have to change that? I know this is forever. Just start saying, this is forever. This is not temporary like all the past diets. This is temporary, something that I just haven't divorced the thought yet, but I'm willing to. Anything like that. Yesterday, you coached Carrie on old thoughts that are coming up. I'm in the same place in my journey. I have thoughts of being an imposter and inadequacy comes up at times. Can you expand on ways to conquer the old you thoughts with the new person you are becoming? I don't believe them. I've had two off-plan eats this week. I'm doing recovery worksheets. I figured out the thoughts I'm having. Let's see. Can you expand on ways to conquer the old you thoughts? So before you can conquer old you thoughts, you have to know what they are. So the first thing is just to get like very familiar with, these are the things that I think that are the old you. And I want you to always label that, these are the things I think. Because a lot of you believe those things. You don't have to believe those things. And the more we start talking about them as if these are the things I think, the easier it is to start understanding thoughts instead of circumstances. So the first thing I would do is do that. And then if you don't believe them, it's not a big deal. So I think you're like, I'm still having thoughts of being an imposter and inadequacy. I want you to just tell yourself, that's normal. You're always going to feel like an imposter and you're always going to feel inadequate at times. But it's only because you're thinking something. It's not because you are those things. I think a lot of you think all of that stuff's got to go away in order to have a good life. None of that has to go away in order to have a good life. None of it. You can have a great life, still have these thoughts, but you don't have to believe them. You don't have to run from them. You don't even have to change them. You just have to be like, I can have these thoughts and still believe in myself and still do the things I want to do for myself. And the more you start getting into that space, the more like thoughts become like a buffet. You go through and you see things you like and you see things you don't like, but you're always the one picking and choosing, but you're just seeing a lot of things. Two podcasts I just wish all of you would listen to. I listened to them this morning. They were both great. They kind of tie into a lot of the things we're talking about. Brooke's podcast this week, that's at The Life Coach School. Brooke is my mentor, of course. What is the name of that? Gifts to My Future Self. Please listen to that one. We do Future Self in here. I loved the way that, especially if you have a hard time with getting in touch with your future self, she does a really good way, a really good hack for being able to talk to your past self and stuff, and not even rewriting your past, but like thanking your past self. Like I would, like all of you that are listening to this, you know what you all should do? Thank you, past self, for joining PNP. Like you should give yourself a high five. There are so many things that your past self has done to get you to where you are right now. Like, she had to be scared and buy the program. She had to roll the dice one more time on if she could do this and join the tribe. Like, I want you guys to think about this. Your past self, I want you to think about everything that is right in your life right now. And I want you to go back and I want you to thank the person who showed up on the days she didn't want to, who was scared shitless and did it anyway. Like, if your kids are successful, for every single time you did the commute when you didn't want to, you were in a terrible mood, all the things. Because what she was talking about in the podcast is when we can see that at some point there was a version of us who had a future self. Who you are today was somebody's future self at one point. I think this is a really good exercise for a lot of you who are like halfway through your journey, nearing the end of your weight loss journey, and you're kind of in that phase of, like, you know how we kind of get in this whiny phase at some point? Like, I don't know if I can finish it. I'm kind of stuck here. All the things. We forget that there was a version of us that would fucking kill to be where we are. That is like sitting there going, oh my God, I'm so proud of you. What do you need me to do to get you there? Like, she's just like freaking out. And she wants like you to know we've come so far. Keep going. Like, I think it's such a healthy thing to do. I think a lot of times we think we have to go back to our past and rewrite it, or we need to just get out of our past and all that kind of stuff, and which is fine. Like, I'm telling you, sometimes you guys need to stay out of your past. You ain't ready. But for those of you that are experiencing success in your job, in your families, in relationships, in your weight, in whatever, like, think about writing from her to you. And how, like, what all she went through to make sure you can be where you are right now. And then you can do from you to that next phase. What all are you willing to do now so that the version of you you want to be gets to have that? It was such a great podcast. I wish that all of you would listen to it. And then the one that I think that helps all of that is Kara's podcast this week. Hers is Unfuck Your Brain. If you go to iTunes, it was about thought avoidance. It's about the idea of, like, are you willing to be with yourself? This is one of the most significant changes that has happened to me over the years. I crave quiet time. Y'all wonder why I want to get up at 5 a.m.? I like being with me now. It's easy. Even on the days that the thoughts are, you know, just a pile of shit, it's still easy to be with me because I look forward to loving myself through it. I didn't always do that. I spent my years busying myself and trying to constantly have things planned and never want to slow down and do all those things. When you get to where, like, you either really like yourself, love yourself, or at least you get to the point to where it's like, you know what? It's all okay. You will want that time. And she does a really beautiful job of explaining what thought avoidance is and about us not being in such a fucking hurry to change it. Because, you know, a lot of times I tell you guys, stop thinking that.
That is the quickest way to get out of some doo-doo thoughts. But sometimes you guys need to think some of those negative things. Not because they're bad or whatever, but you need to think them so that you know that you can have your own back when you do. And then you're ready to believe something new. Then you're ready to change what you're thinking. So, y'all, if you want, like, bonus homework, cue that shit up and listen to it before the end of the weekend. And y'all talk about it here in the Facebook group. These are the conversations when I come to the Facebook group that I would love to see and would love to, like, geek out with you guys on. I decided to do a 5K Saturday, no training. I'm just going to do it and see if I like it. Any tips for the not a runner since they made me do it in high school? Be careful. I know it only seems like 3 miles, but this is about the time when a lot of people will pull a hammy, bust their foot, do something along those lines. Hey, Mary Jo, if you will just post these. I have said the second one. It's Brooke. It's Unfuck Your Brain with Cara. It's the Thought Avoidance. And then it's Brooke's The Life Coach School podcast, Gifts to My Future Self. Both of those episodes. Go out to iTunes, copy the link, and put them in here. And we can put them in the show notes. But let's put them in the comments in here, too, because people are going to watch the video and not go to the website and look at the show notes. But, Sarah, what I would do is if it starts to hurt, start to walk. Like, legit, this is what I want you to do. I want you to see if you like it. I don't want you to make this a I better do the best I can thing. If you haven't trained, this is not when the best runner shows up. This is when, like, let's see what we can do. And let's really, like, listen to our body. Can you talk about planned? Oh, and Sarah, make sure you've got good shoes. Like I just want to say this for all of you that run and walk. Shoes are the lifeblood of the feet. So many people get injured because they're running in shoes that they wear to the mall, or that they've been like mowing the grass in, or that they've been wearing for 2 years and stuff. No, running shoes. You go to a running store. You tell them where your fitness level is. They will measure your foot. They will watch you walk. They will watch you run. They will look at you, and they will get you shoes that fit your gait, your hips, the way your stride is. And so it's really important because, like, when I wear the wrong shoes, every now and then I will buy new shoes. Just be like, I'm just going to get some. Thank you for all the work you do for us, Corinne. Last night, I didn't eat after dinner. This is huge for me. I woke up twice in the night wanting something to eat. I rolled over and went back to sleep. The night before, last 5 brownies to eat nothing. To eating nothing. Huge win. Congratulations, Laurianne. I'm telling you, the more you pay attention, the more you're just compassionate with yourself, the more you will, the more you just start making changes naturally. I will be a team den mother for a race wherein I will be up for over 30 hours ensuring my relay teams are on track. Would it be appropriate for me to bring and plan some Lara bars and then say I'll eat 2 to 2, choosing the best of what's available from the lodge, regardless of time of day? I'm curious to how best to handle this situation. I think your plan's fine, Ruth Ann. I would. I mean, you're going to want to need to keep your energy up. And sometimes in things like this, if you're going to be up for an extended amount of time, you're going to get hungry. Your body is going to be, you know, I don't care if you're running or whatever you're doing, your body's going to be demanding some calories from you. So yeah, I think your plan sounds really good. How to eat on vacation when there is so much new to try. You decide, are you going to eat all the things because it's new? Like, you need to go and listen to go to No BS, module 2, and listen to the lesson on vacations and stuff. You have to first decide. What's most important, your vacation, the food, your weight, whatever. You need to prioritize all that. Just because there's new food doesn't mean it has to go in your mouth. You're still deciding if you want that. Here's the thing. I never go to the grocery store and be like, oh, fuck, there's all this new food. Better try some shit. Just because it's vacation and it's new food is irrelevant. You have to decide what you want to do. If you want to eat some new food and stuff, then you just need to plan your vacation around that. But there's no, like, specific
how do you do it, how you eat and stuff. You decide how you want to eat, how you want to show up for you, and why you want to show up that way. And then you align each 24-hour plan each day around those thoughts. I'm in love with working out at the gym. It has changed my life. I love when you guys exercise. I'm going to tell you, I know that exercise is not like what's going to lose y'all's weight, but I will tell you, exercise is such a passion of mine. It is what lit me on fire on, like, when I started exercising, I started really believing in myself. I think it was the, like, watching myself push myself more than I ever had, the overcoming what other people thought. There were just so many components to exercising that just changed who I was. Because, like, you know, like, I just remember all the times that I went to classes and stuff as the big girl. And I did it anyway, and I would be so proud of myself. It was that, like, learning that I could do more than I ever thought I could because I decided to. And because I was like, oh my gosh, I can be afraid of something and do it. I can be scared. I can doubt. I can be the worst. I can be in the worst shape in the room and still be there. And I would get to think any way I wanted to. Just like every race where I finished last place, I never had to sit there and feel like a loser. I could always feel like a winner because I showed up, because I was doing better than I had ever done in my life. It taught me to start running my own races. It started teaching me to quit comparing myself to other people. Like, I had to put myself in situations where I wanted to do those things and notice I was doing those things and then choose not to do it. Do you have any suggestions on how many days a week I should be doing cardio versus weight and exercises? I personally, it's up to you. It's whatever you like doing. I would structure your week to where you're doing the majority of it with the thing. Like, if you love cardio, then spend the majority of your time doing cardio and then add in a weight day. If you love the weights, do more weight days and then just add in a little cardio. Kind of just what I would do in the beginning is play with what you like the most. I have phases. There are times when I love cardio. All I want to do is run and Peloton. I could just care less about a weight. Like, I just go through phases. Then I have phases where it's like, girl, I want to be lifting heavy. I want there to be a man standing next to me thinking, I'm a loser. That lady's lifting heavier than me. Like, I go through all the phases. So I just, like, you know, I've decided, other than, right, oh shit, I just stubbed my toe, y'all. Ooh, I think I broke a toenail too. I just decided, you know, that I was going to do this 5K thing. So I have to prioritize the running over everything else. And I have to watch my mind on wanting to just do what I like versus do what's best for my goal. So, you know, it just depends on where you're at. If you don't have a specific goal, other than, you know what, I'm ready to love life. Like, I am going to be gym thug life. That's what I want to be. Then you do what you like and you structure your week around that. I would say, though, no matter what, guys, when you're exercising, it's good to do some kind of strength training. You do not have to be throwing around every dumbbell in the gym and doing all the things. Even just some body weight stuff will get you a lot of mileage on just, like, I'm just talking, like, basic strength, basic, like, being able to get up and down out of the floor and stuff. There is nothing worse than when I am getting away from stretching and weights and I'm doing all cardio and I am, like, not Gumby anymore. I am as hard as this headphone case. And so that means that I'm, like, gimpy, can't bend over good. So it's like just thinking about, you know, what do you most want? Just remember, a little bit of weights and some cardio, like, they play very well together. I do okay during the week, mostly because I don't keep food in the house. But when I go to my sister's house every weekend, I go straight to the pantry and eat all the things despite making a plan. I've tried models on this, but can't seem to get the thoughts that lead me down this road. Suggestions. What I would do, Jalen, is I would take this over to Ask Coaches. Post your models that you're doing. Let them see what thoughts are coming up for you and let them clean up your models and stuff. But here's the problem. I do okay during the week because I keep all the food away from me. No wonder when you're around food, you haven't learned the skill of being around food yet. All you've done is taught yourself how not to be around it. You haven't taught yourself how to have an urge and not eat it. That's what your sister's house is going to be. I want you to think my sister's house is practice ground.
That's what your sister's house is now. You need to have a plan, a realistic one, because I don't think you have a realistic plan at home right now. If your plan requires you to not be able to keep tempting foods around you, you know, you're not learning the skill of being around food. You're learning the skill of avoidance. So it doesn't mean that at home you have to bring all of that in. But when you're telling me this, then that means I know that during the week you're practicing avoidance. So what I would do is I would start either looking at, all right, am I going to keep some foods in the house or what am I going to do there? Or am I going to start using my sister's house as the proving ground? Like, I want to practice urges. You know, I'm going to go in knowing that I'm going to practice my urges now. I'm going to do those things rather than like I have a problem when I'm at my sister's house. Because I think you said, despite making a plan, you need to make a more realistic plan. You need to make a plan for dealing with urges. You need to make a plan for what you're going to think when you are wanting to eat the things. You need to ask yourself, why am I wanting to eat the things? What is the difference between, here's the thing, what is the difference in my thinking between my home and my sister's house? Not, well, at home I don't have things. That's the action line. I want you to think about what you think differently. Because I guarantee it's going to be at home. It's like, I can't have those things around me. So then you, when you think, I can't have those things around me, then your action is always going to be, remove the temptations. At your sister's house, you're still going to have, I can't have those things around me, but the action can't be remove the temptations. So now you're just staring at them. So you probably feel anxious when you're there or compelled or whatever. How did you learn how to not pout about eating less food? My mind goes to thinking you should be able to eat more than this, even though I know it's not a true thought. How to not pout about eating less food? I did pout some, but I was just like, yeah, I don't like not, like, I would like to eat more, but guess what? I like being thin better. I'd much rather be like, womp, womp, that I don't get to eat as much food, but I'm going to be like, woo-hoo, when my fucking pants fit and I'm wearing a single digit versus double digit. Hell, I didn't even get in, like, I was 22, 24, all the X's, all the things. When I started thinking about what I was going to, like, gain from missing the food right now, it helped me transition. On my monthly tracker, the areas that are seriously lacking are eating 2 to 2 and staying on plan. Which of these should I focus most on right now before I tackle the other? I would focus, why don't you start with the 2 to 2? That's where usually the most work is anyway. Just no matter what you end up eating, you have to pay attention to your hunger scale. Start there. Looked at my habit tracker and the areas I'm not doing well is sleep. Eating 2 to 2 is sticking to my plan. The rest of the day, I'm great at it. What are your suggestions for the 3 that I'm not showing up for? If I was you, I would get on that 2 to 2. I'd do the 2 to 2, and I don't know if what's going on with your sleeping, but guys, fucking come on. Is it worth being overweight to stay up and watch TV? I mean, so many of you, you're staying up and saying, you know what? I'm going to stay awake and I'd rather watch this show than be my goal weight. The next time you guys are staying up late to watch a show, Facebook, whatever it is you're doing, I don't know if this is you. I'm not saying, Penny, this is what you're doing, but there's a lot of you doing this. I want you to say, like, is this show worth being overweight over? Is this scrolling this Facebook worth not losing weight this week? Is it worth some food cravings and urges? Because here I am setting up the environment for burning less fat, wanting to eat more. If you're having trouble staying asleep, Penny, then you need to do a thought download at night. One, that will help. Guys, you have to clean your brain out. I don't care, for all of you that have a hard time staying asleep, the majority of you, it's because you wake up and your brain's racing. If that's the case, then you need to be like, if my sleep's valuable to me, I will take 10 minutes before I go to bed each night
and I will pour out what I'm thinking. I will have, I don't care if it's a to-do list, whatever it is. You have to give your brain a break. You can try the sleep remedy that I take. It's really good. It's in my kit store, kit.com/PHIT, fit and fat. You can take the sleep remedy, but if it's simply you're waking up in the middle of the night because it's a mismanaged brain during the day, more thought downloads, more models. Why do y'all think I sleep so good? Because every day my planner is done. I know what I have to do for the next day. I have emptied my brain out. There's never a bunch of shit running around. Never. It's not worth it. I do not want to wake up in the middle of the night panicking because I'm worried that I forgot something. I'm not paying that price. That is too expensive of a currency. I don't know if Sleep Remedy's back in stock. You can try. I know it's supposed to be coming back in stock at the end of July or something like that, or maybe the end of August. But I would just go check. And if it's not, take Natural Calm. You can buy melatonin, break it in half. You only need like 1 milligram. But even Natural Calm will help you sleep just through the night. I've identified that I have the urge to eat when I'm tired or fatigued. Of course, go to sleep. What are your suggestions for giving into these urges now that I'm more aware? I think just noticing, like, you need to back the truck up and be like, why am I so tired and fatigued, and solve for tired and fatigued. Most of you, what you want to do is you want to solve for the urge. And it's like, what if we solve for the thing that's triggering urges? So if tired and fatigued is it, then we got to figure out, why are you so tired? Why are you so fatigued? And what things can you be doing to solve for that? First, it's thoughts. Make sure that your thoughts are not triggering tired. A lot of times I'm tired. I'm not actually tired. I'm tired of my bullshit thinking, and I'm wearing myself out, but I'm not exactly physically tired. If you're physically tired, you may need more sleep. I'm wanting to fit exercise in again. I was working out at 4:30, 3 days a week, and just got exhausted and tired. And now every time I want to get up early, I just think about how exhausted I'll be. How can I fit exercise in without feeling tired? Go to bed earlier. If you're going to get up at 4:30, if you're going to have to be like me, you've got to be asleep by 8:30. Let's see, 9:30, 10:30, 11:30, 12:30, 1:30, 2:30, 3:30, 4:30. That gets me 8 hours of sleep. I am asleep most of the time by 8:30. Legit. I construct my life in order to be there. Or you can do much shorter workouts. Do 15 minutes 3 times a week. Get your ass up at 4:45, whatever you need to do. But just figure it out. It's just a matter of figuring it out. Take walks. Figure out when during the day and stuff, when you can get. If you go to bed at 8, you can't be that tired. If you're going to bed at 8 o'clock and getting up at 4:30 3 times a week, you need to clean your brain up. This is a brain issue. 9, 10, 11, 12, 1, 2, 3, 4. That's 8.5 hours of sleep. 3 days a week, you are asking yourself to get only 8.5 hours of sleep a night. I would dig around in there and look for drama. This is probably just a like gut check of like, you know, 3 days a week, I can just get 8.5 hours of sleep and I'll be okay. Of course you're going to be tired. It's 4:30 in the morning. I'm going to tell you, most of the days when like, and I am a morning person, and most days when I wake up at 4:45, I'm like, whew. I'm never like springing out of bed like, oh my God, I get to wake up at 4:45. Like, I know. It never. It's usually like, I think I'm going to go back to sleep. But I just don't. Well, maybe you can check sleep apnea, but I'm going to tell you, the majority of you have an expectation that at 4:30 in the morning that you're going to feel like rainbows and daisies. My Fitbit registers that I'm awake for 2 hours every night. Don't go by that Fitbit. Guys, this thing tells me I do all kinds of crazy bullshit in the middle of the night. Sometimes it's accurate, sometimes it's not. If Angela, at this point, here's what I would do. If you're arguing so much that you're that tired and it's not thoughts, then I would go to a doctor and be like, hey, I'm getting, like, so on the days that you don't get up at 4:30, what time are you getting up is my question. Answer that. Liz, I only have 10 pounds. I don't know what that means. You'll have to tell me what your question is, Liz. You might have accidentally hit the return button. Angela, tell me, like, on the other days, how much, if you're going to bed at 8 and you're getting, like, what time are you normally getting up? And what kind of workout are you trying to do at 4:30 in the morning? 6 a.m. So, 8, what is that, 10 hours? All right, so if 10 hours a night is not doing it, like, you need 10 hours every single night. And why are you getting up at 4:30? Why not just get up at 5? Give yourself that. That'll give you 9 hours of sleep. And do a 20-minute workout. That'll give you 20 minutes to, like, drink water and slow roll yourself. 20 minutes of workout. And then 20 minutes to sit there and stretch. You could do that. And that'll get you to 6 right there. I only have 10 pounds to lose and have not yet figured out how to start. The basics. Doesn't matter if you only have 10 pounds to lose. If you're not doing the basics, you're not going to lose 10 pounds. Are you doing the basics, Liz? I want to know, like, are you, like, 100% on the basics? If you're not 100% on the basics, we got to start there. It could be you're sleeping too much. Yeah, that could be too. I ate my dinner and stopped at, I had to decide not to. Like, that thought, it's no more complicated than that. Most of you are eating, overeating on the regular because you just want it. That's the thought you have to be listening to. There's no deep, dark secret. It's staring you in the face saying, hey, address me. The reason why most of you want it to be more than that is because here's the deal. It means that in order to lose weight, you are going to have to stop eating when you don't want to. And you're like, well, there's got to be more to it. So this can be an easier process. No, it will not be easy. You don't have to sit there and, like, pout and throw a pity party. But yeah, you're going to be like, right now, like, I'm going to want to eat this. I can either choose misery and fullness, or I can choose a little discomfort and throw this shit away right now. Be done with it. Just like, I want you, like, if you didn't listen, Jill, to the, earlier, I went through my whole Kodiak pancake drama story from this morning. You need to listen to that part. It's very important because it totally pertains to this. Angela, I want you to think about it. Either go get a sleep study and talk to your doctor, because 10 hours of sleep is a lot of sleep. And if that's not doing it, then try just getting consistent with waking up for months at a time. Because if it's not sleep apnea and stuff, it's more likely just your thinking. And it's just going to be like, yeah, I'm not going to want to. Just not going to want to. And keep your movement simple. 20 minutes. It doesn't have to be go out and conquer the world, you know? All right, guys. That's all I got for the day. Y'all have a good one. And I will see everybody Sunday for coaching. All right. Bye, y'all.